Fi janab allaba giri varadhari Gopi janab allaba giri varadhari Yasoda nandana praja jana ranjana Yasoda nandana praja jana ranjana Jamuna tira vanachari Jamuna tira vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari Yasoda nandana praja jana ranjana Yasoda nandana praja jana ranjana Jamuna tira panasari Munatira Panachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Vishnubhad Paramhang Zipadibhidhaja Gachara Jastho Drasutu Sri Srimad Abhoy Chananara Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayom Vishnubhad Paramhang Zipadibhidhaja Gachara Jastho Drasutu Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananti Koti Vaishnava Brinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sigoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Adwait Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Sham Kundaradha Kundigiri Govardhan Ki Jai
श्री ब्रज भूमि वृंदावन धाम की जय, श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय, श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय, गंगमयी की जय, यमुनामयी की जय, भक्ति देवी की जय, तुलसी देवी की जय, समवेर भक्त वृंद की जय, गौ प्रेमानंदी। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauram.
भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, भगवते वासुदेवाय, ठन आतिष्ठति या सम्यग् उपायान पूर्वा दर्शितान अवरा श्रद्धयोपेता उपेयान विन्दते अज्ञसा ठान अतिष्ठाति सम्यग् उपायान पूर्वदर्शितान अवरा श्रद्धयोपेता उपेयान विन्दते यसा स्थान अतिष्ठति सम्यग् उपायान पूर्वदर्शितान अवरा श्रद्धयोपेता उपेयान विन्दते यसा स्थान अतिष्ठति सम्यग् उपायान पूर्वदर्शितान अवरा श्रद्धयोपेता उपेयान विन्दते यस्सा
तानतिष्ठति उपायान पूर्वदर्शिता
ladies.
Atishtati follows Yaha. Anyone who Samyak completely Upayan principles Purva formally Darshitan instructed Avara, inexperienced, Shraddhaya, with faith, Upeta, being situated, Upeyan, the fruits of activities, Vindate, enjoys, Agyasa, very easily. One who follows the principles and instructions enjoined by the great sages of the past can utilize these instructions for practical purposes. Such a person can very easily enjoy life and pleasures. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Vedic principles, Mahajano Yena Katha Sapanta, urge us to follow in the footsteps of great liberated souls. In this way, we can receive benefit in both this life and the next, and we can also improve our material life. By following the principles laid down by great sages and saints of the past, we can very easily understand the aim of all life. The word avara, meaning inexperienced, is very significant in this verse. Every conditioned soul is inexperienced. Everyone is a bodha jata, born a fool and rascal. In democratic government, at the present moment, all kinds of fools and rascals are making decisions. But what can they do? What is the result of their legislation? They enact something today just to whimsically repeal tomorrow. Our political party utilizes a country for one purpose, and the next moment another political party forms a different type of government and nullifies all the laws and regulations. This process of chewing the chewed, punapunas charvata charvananam, will never make human society happy. In order to make all human society happy and prosperous, we should accept the standard methods given by liberated persons. Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmahi Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Judapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam
sadvaitam, savadutam, parijana sahitam, krishna chaitanya devam, sri radha krishna padan, sahagana lalita, sri vishakambitamscha, he krishna karuna sindhu, dina bandhu jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Puranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyae Vata Patithanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari.
One who follows the principles and instructions enjoined by the great sages of the past can utilize these instructions for practical purposes. Such a person can very easily enjoy life and pleasures.
Hare Krishna.
In 1969, I believe it was, Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture the occasion of a marriage at New Vrindavan. And therein he emphasized a particular verse, which translated very simply means, let everyone be happy. May everyone be happy. And believe it or not, Srila Prabhupada said, this is the purpose of marriage. And Srila Prabhupada explained, this is the purpose of life. To be charitable, to be in a spirit of servitude, to make other people happy. But we cannot give something unless we have something to give. Unless we are happy, we cannot give other people happiness. Of course, some people like to see others suffer, so we make them happy if we suffer. But that is not what we are talking about, because that is not real happiness. And in the effort to make others happy, Krishna reciprocates and gives us happiness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught this principle. The more we're an instrument of the Lord's compassion, to awaken love of God in other people, love of God awakens within our own heart. Srila Prabhupada explained the quality of Krishna conscious life is happiness. Sometimes, often, he would quote some newspaper articles which would say, or some priest that he had met, that previously these people were so miserable, so dark-faced, but now they are so bright-faced and happy. And Prabhupada really considered this success of his movement, that people were becoming happy, excited to live, enthusiastic with, to perform their life's activities. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explained on several occasions that his miracle to this world was to make hippies into happies. Because actually, if you water the root of the tree, the other parts of the tree become nourished. The soul is the root of our existence. If we water the needs of the soul by rendering loving service to the Lord, by always remembering Krishna, then our life becomes happy. I was just speaking with His Grace Atmananda Prabhu, the illustrious yogi of New Dwarka, about some of my experience of this holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Physically, he was in the most lamentable condition a person can possibly be in. He was emaciated. There were tumors covering his body. His leg was amputated, body ravaged by cancer, immense pain. And yet, he was smiling. And what a smile! It seemed to be lighting up the room, lighting up the universe. His eyes were twinkling. He was laughing. He said to me, "I've never been so happy." He said, "How wonderful this is. Tasting Krishna like never before. How wonderful." Again and again, he said, "Amazing, amazing. I would not trade my position for anyone else in the world." He was happy. And people were coming into room. And they were coming with tears in their eyes, weeping, thinking, how can someone we love so dearly be in such a condition? It's unbearable to look at somebody you love in such a condition. And knowing he will die any day. But when they came out of that room, they were laughing, smiling, and crying in happiness. Hare Krishna. It was contagious. Although his body was in that condition, he was simply giving other people happiness. And that was a secret. He was trying to taste Krishna by Krishna's, by Prabhupada's mercy, and trying to just distribute that taste to others. I remember one time I was in a room conversation with Srila Prabhupada. Someone asked the question, "Srila Prabhupada, when we distribute your books, people say that you always look so unhappy in your photos. You never smile." Prabhupada said to Hari Sori Prabhu, said, "Get Bhagavad Gita." So he got Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada was opening it, looking through pages. We were expecting a very profound verse about what real ecstasy is. And Prabhupada turned to his photograph, where he was smiling. And he held it up and he said, "To show them this photograph, I am smiling." And then Srila Prabhupada became more philosophical. He said, because you do not understand the science of ecstasy. Even when a devotee who loves Krishna is in a very grave mood, It is a form of transcendental happiness. Because he's absorbed in Krishna, the source of all happiness. And even when a devotee suffers and cries to see the lamentable condition of others, that is also a form of divine ecstasy. Why? Because Krishna is pleased by our compassion toward others. Paradukaduki. What is the definition of a great person? Not a person who could levitate. Not a person who could read people's minds. Not a person who could produce gold or ashes. Not a person who can speak thousands of eloquent slokas. A really great soul, in the eyes of God, is Paradukaduki. One who is happy to see others happy, and one who suffers to see other people suffering. That suffering, to see other people suffering, is a greater happiness than all your selfish, blissful experiences. Because it gives happiness to the soul, the real self. Let us look at the time before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world. When the devotees were together, they would chant and dance in divine bliss. But most of the day, they were weeping and crying to see how lamentable the world situation was. Advaitacharya, who is the best of all Vaishnavas, he spent years crying on the banks of the Ganges with his Shalagram Shila, crying, screaming for Lord Krishna to appear in this world, because people are in so much ignorance. And in their ignorance, they think they're happy. That's really painful. If somebody's suffering and knows that they're suffering, at least they may try to find an alternative solution. But if someone's suffering and they think they're happy, what can you do? It's like an alcoholic. I used to give classes in Alcoholics Anonymous chapters in Bombay. Many I gave. They would, as a guest speaker. By Krishna's grace, I wasn't an alcoholic. But they invited me to speak. And I would hear what they would talk about. And their message is very simple. Until you hit rock bottom, you usually never try to make a solution. Unless you realize my life is completely miserable, I have no hope. You suffer to the intensest extent. You usually don't really take seriously a solution. As long as you think you're happy getting intoxicated, you just carry on. Yes? So for them, hitting rock bottom is the beginning of the solution. It's actually auspicious. When you suffer to the maximum, then it's like the green light comes in your mind. I have to do something about this. Until you come to that point, sometimes you know intellectually you should do something about it. But you're so caught up in the so-called pleasures and relief that you're getting, the illusory relief, you just carry on. So material life is like that. People are intoxicated by egotism, by selfish enjoyment. And as long as people think they're happy on that situation, as long as they feel they could find relief through material conditions and adjustments, that intoxication distracts them so much from finding a real solution. So, of course, devotees feel great pain to see when people really are suffering, And they also feel great pain when they see they're so intoxicated that their soul is suffering, but they think they're happy due to their intoxication of materialistic life. So this was Advaitacharya. Srivas Thakur and his brothers, they perform kirtan practically all day and all night, every day, with the desire for Krishna to appear, not for their sake, because they already were pure devotees of the highest order, but for the sake of all the people of the world who were suffering due to lack of knowledge of their relationship with God. And Advaitacharya, he was fasting for years, begging Krishna to come, because he couldn't bear seeing people without God. It wasn't some sectarianism. It was compassion for the soul. So yes, Srivas, Advaita, they were in transcendental ecstasy, suffering. How is that? Because they were suffering for us, out of love for us. And that was the special quality of Srila Prabhupada that made his life so absolutely unique amongst Vaishnavas. Yes, there were many Vaishnavas who were very, very great scholars of the Shastra. And many Vaishnavas who love Krishna with their heart and soul. But Srila Prabhupada, who was a great scholar and who loved Krishna, he actually didn't think he had any of those things. In his prayer on Jaladutta, he prayed, "My Lord Krishna, I have no bhakti or devotion, and I have no Vedanta or knowledge of the Shastra, but you have given me the name Bhaktivedanta. Now it is for you to fulfill the real purport of this name. I will just be a puppet in your hands." And in that prayer in Jaladutta, "Krishna, why have you brought me to this place? What am I supposed to do? Who will listen to me?" This is very unique. When Indians come to America, it's like elevation to Swargaloka. Where do you find anybody from India who has ever written his diary, "Why have you brought me to this terrible place"? Completely unique in world history. If you go to Bombay or Delhi, you'll see every day hundreds or thousands of Indians are standing in line for hours and hours and hours at the American embassies, trying to somehow or other get a visa. Yes? And once they're here, green card. But Srila Prabhupada, he also stood in line. But not to get money, not to have all the beautiful facilities. He went on Jaladutta, and when he saw America, he said, "Why have you brought me to this terrible place where everyone is so much caught up in the modes of passion and ignorance? How will they learn? How will they understand my message?" Srila Prabhupada, in his divine happiness, he was feeling the pains of all of us. He was feeling the pains and willing to put his life on the line and sacrifice everything for people he never met. That's amazing. Sometimes we'll do it for our friends or our family members, but he was doing it for all human society in a foreign land. And in his Jaladutta prayers, it's very simple and beautiful. He says, when they understand your message, Krishna, what will be the result? He says, they will become happy. In this verse today, we find that this is the nature of the life of the great souls of the past. Their happiness is to see the happiness of others. But they understand real happiness. And Srila Prabhupada, in his translation, he says, such person can very easily enjoy life and pleasures. And Prabhupada explains, on every level, physical, emotional, spiritual level, people will be happy. Srila Prabhupada was concerned. He was concerned about devotees' living conditions. When devotees, they worked so hard to build, to renovate that temple at Berry Place in London. Srila Prabhupada was living in John Lennon's house, in his estate. It was very nice. But he wasn't happy there. He was happy because he was chanting Hare Krishna. But he was pushing Shamsundar Prabhu to renovate the temple because he wanted everyone to come and live. At John Lennon's estate, Tittenhurst, only Srila Prabhupada and a few people were really allowed there, and they were living nicely. But that little building, 7 Berry Place, near the British Museum, that could attract hundreds and hundreds, thousands of thousands of people from all over the UK. And that's what Prabhupada wanted. He didn't want to go down in history as somebody who lived with the Beatles. He wanted to go down in history as someone who reached out and gave his life for the fallen souls without discrimination of what their position in society was. So he was pushing Shamsundar. As soon as it's done, I'll move there. I'll move out of this place and I'll move in a little tiny room and share the bathroom with everyone else in the temple. Because that's what he had to do, you know. There was only one bathroom. Maybe two. One for men, one for women. Dhananjay Prabhu likes to tell the story. The temple became so overcrowded after some time. And there would be people standing in line for the bathroom. I think all the old Prabhupada disciples remembers that was a tradition in our temples, to stand in line to go to the bathroom. And everybody knows what you do in the bathroom. You take a shower, but there's also other technicalities that are performed. And when there's 15, 20 people waiting at the door, and everyone wants to make it to Mangal Arati on time, because if you don't, you don't get prasad. You're in a rush. If you take more than about 1.5 minutes to do everything, people are... Prabhu, get out! What are you doing? So there would be devotees standing in line, and Prabhupada would just stand in line to go to the bathroom with all of this, these... You know, some were hippies, some were disciples. They'd say, no, Swami, you come in. And then when he'd go in, you know, there were, you know, he came into where somebody else left off. Just put it in a very moderate way before the deities. So why would he want to go from John Lennon's house to that? So he was rushing Shamsundar. But Shamsundar Prabhu was going as slowly as possible. This is an amazing philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The contradictions of love of God. Prabhupada was hurrying him, because Prabhupada said, I will stay here until the temple is finished. So Shamsundar Prabhu, he interpreted that in a very special way. Prabhupada will stay here until the temple is finished. We'll never finish the temple. That means
That means Prabhupada will never leave. That's the perfection of our lives. So he was purposely using his most creative intelligence to do it, to be working all day and make it really, really slow. But Prabhupada was so kind. When the temple was built or renovated, they were thinking, now look what we have. Such a spacious, wonderful temple. It's probably the biggest center of ISKCON at the time, because in New York there was, I think, just 26 Second Avenue or 28 Second Avenue or 71 Second Avenue, whatever it was. And here they have a whole building with several stories. But within a year or two, it was so totally overcrowded. Srila Prabhupada came there and he saw devotees sleeping on the steps because there was no space. That was the only floor space available, was the steps. And Prabhupada was thinking, this is not good for their health. They should be comfortable. And he requested George Harrison, please get us a bigger space, because the devotees are terribly inconvenienced due to the lack of space. In knowing Srila Prabhupada's concern for the devotees' comfort, not sense gratification, but basic comfort and a nice life, Bhaktivedanta Manor was purchased. But soon that became overcrowded. And when Srila Prabhupada was in his last days in Vrindavan, one of his concerns that he repeatedly spoke was he wanted to know if devotees were getting good prasad. He wanted to know if devotees were getting good prasad, if devotees were in good health. He was concerned. Ultimately, his greatest concern was that we were chanting our 16 rounds, following the four regulative principles, reading his books, doing Nam Sankirtan together. He was concerned with our body, our mind, and our souls. Why? Because he wanted every devotee to be happy in Krishna consciousness. And he wanted all of his leaders to strive and assure that those who were giving up so much to come to his mission, that they were happy in Krishna consciousness. And that is what Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this purport. That Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us how to have a happy life in Krishna consciousness. And what is the process? Mahajano yena katasa panta. To follow in the footsteps of the great souls. To receive the instructions of the great souls. When Srila Prabhupada wrote his purports to Srimad Bhagavatam, he had the commentaries of the greatest acharyas before him. He was not simply speaking what Shukadeva Goswami said. He was sharing us the instructions and the realizations of so many great personalities who lived in the past. And what is the story of Srimad Bhagavatam? Actually, Srimad Bhagavatam, up until we reach the 10th canto, most of the stories focus on the devotees. One of the most important stories is Prahlad Maharaj. It's all the story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he doesn't personally come into the picture until the very end, for just a very short segment. The whole story is the qualities of Prahlad. How he rejoiced, even in the most impossible predicaments, and how he overcame all obstacles. What was his love? What was his devotion? What was his faith? All Prahlad Maharaj had to do is say to his father, my favorite subject in school was history. And he would have been the crown prince, the next king, and given all facilities and lived such a happy life. That's all he had to do. But he said to Prahlad, what is your favorite subject? Well, the best thing I learned in school is, Father, you're in a deep, dark well. And you're suffering. And nobody can even hear you calling. You should give it all up, go to Vrindavan and surrender to Krishna. But why did he have to say that? He was 5 years old. He remained true to the order of Narada Muni, even in the most difficult circumstances. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Dhruva Maharaj, it's a long story. Krishna only appears for a few minutes in that story. He grants Dhruva his benedictions, and at the end he sends his associates to bring him back to Godhead. But the whole rest of the story is Dhruva Maharaj's struggles. Struggles before he met Vishnu, of doing all his tapasya and running away from home and everything else, and then his struggles being a king and fighting with the yakshas. And in the first canto, so many stories about the Pandavas, about Ambarish Maharaj. Yes, Srimad Bhagavatam is the lives of great souls. And we understand the lives of those great souls by the lives of other great souls. If Srila Prabhupada didn't give us his example and connect us with great people like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Kaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and then we learn about Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, the six Goswamis, the Panchatattva, and their associates. Chaitanya Charitamrita is simply about the Lord's love for his devotees. And his, as Srivas Thakur would say, when Lord Chaitanya became a devotee, manifested his ecstasies, and it was brought to the attentions of Srivas, his words were, may our family expand. Now that Nimai Pandit has become a devotee, now may our family expand. Simply concerned with others. So these great personalities, it's so important to understand the example of their lives, what they hold sacred. Not only what they spoke, but how they applied it. Srila Prabhupada was so deep. His words are there in his books. But by studying his life, how he applied them, we really, really gain entrance into the how to practically understand and live what he is speaking. That is why it is so important that we really study and understand Srila Prabhupada's life. Srila Prabhupada could be as soft as a rose, or as hard as a thunderbolt. And what determined whether he was rose-like or thunderbolt-like? According to time, place, circumstance, what would elevate a person's consciousness? Some devotees we talk to, Prabhupada was always chastising them. Always crushing down on them. Yes? Shuchakirti Prabhu said Prabhupada, practically in all the years he was with Prabhupada, day and night, Prabhupada rarely ever chastised him. He was always just so nice to him. Shamsundar Prabhu also, he explains, Prabhupada would mostly just joke with him. Someone like Tamal Krishna Goswami, Prabhupada was just, you know, get this done, get this done, get this done, do that, what, go there, go to China. Just, you know, getting him to get things done, quite strict, surrender. For other people, Prabhupada, I remember Pancha Dravida Prabhu, he gave whole lectures about how Prabhupada would just keep chastising him. But for others, Prabhupada was like a rose. Even when they made serious mistakes, it's all right, you know, just try better. So yes, if you try to imitate the thunderbolt or imitate the rose without the realization, you could create havoc in people's lives as well as your own. So Srila Prabhupada, according to the time, place, circumstance, what will elevate people is how he would present the essence. Never change the essence. Everything was as it is. But even in materialistic advertising, they have understood this principle, that the presentation is 95%. The content is what you want people to get. But what's going to attract them is usually not the content, it's how it's presented, how it's packaged, how it's advertised. So in Krishna consciousness, we're trying to give people the essence, but people won't receive the essence unless they open their hearts to receive it. Even if you give someone excellent medicine, if they cannot digest it, it has no benefit to them. So a compassionate doctor will not only give the right medicine, but give it in such a way that it's digestible so that the person benefits. So we could speak the truth, but unless we speak it in a way that a person can digest it, then it hardly benefits them. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada was so expert. Why? Because he was motivated by real compassion. This is the way he lived. This is the way he spoke. And this is what we find in so many great personalities. So yes, Srimad Bhagavatam is the story of great persons and how they applied the teachings of Krishna in their lives under all kinds of circumstances. And in our whole parampara, we find such a line of persons who are taking Krishna's instructions, the same instructions we're reading every day, but they're teaching us by their example how to live. How to live in such a selfless spirit of accessing Krishna in our own lives by our sadhana, by our prayer, by the purity of our intentions, and how we're willing to take so much effort and even risk to share that gift with others to make others happy. Confirmed by the... Is that a garbage truck or something? My glasses are usually something like that. But that is Mahajana Yena Kathasa Panta. Srila Prabhupada, here in Los Angeles, one senior devotee said, Prabhupada, I think following in the footsteps of the devotees means to do sankirtan, distribute books, and do nam sankirtan. That's following in the footsteps of the gopis? Prabhupada said, yes, that is following in the footsteps of gopis. Not just artificially meditating on dancing with Krishna. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the most esoteric Leela of Krishna accessible to the world. And he had his gopis come down to preach Swarup Tamarnar Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gadadhar Pandit. They were gopis of the spiritual world who came down and helped to promote the Harinam Sankirtan movement in a spirit of compassion to all others. So that is following in the footsteps of gopis. In a very real way, and a very genuine way also. And that will naturally lead, if we do it sincerely and please our Guru and Prabhupada and Krishna, if we do that in a sincere way, then Krishna will awaken all these higher realizations within our hearts. All that's required is to give pleasure to those who have given their lives to save us. It's very sweet and very beautiful. Mahajano yena katasa panta. Just this last January, and I will end within a few minutes. This last January, we went on a yatra to South India. It was quite interesting. We had about 2,000 devotees, 40 buses, and we went to Tirupati, Kanchipuram, Sri Purambudar, Sri Rangam, Rameshwaram, Madurai. Now that means you have to have, in each place, you have to have a whole new set of guest house to put all the devotees in their rooms. And a whole new place, facility for cooking and place for prasadam. So it was quite challenging to organize this yatra. Ramesh Chandra Goswami and his son Sushil Chandra Goswami, they're head pujaris of Nanda Bhavan, Krishna and Balaram's eternal house on top of the hill in Nandagram. And they join us for many of our yatras. They're very close friends, Brijbasis. And they were traveling to all these places. And the only complaint that Ramesh Chandra Goswami had, he didn't mind, you know, moving from room to room. He didn't mind going on all these bus rides. He didn't mind. But one thing was very difficult for him: eating so much rice. He says, I need rotis. I need chapatis. I can't live on rice because every preparation was rice. So we had to have a special cook travel with him to make chapatis. But anyways, in Sri Rangam, the senior most sannyasi of the whole Ramanuja or Sri Sampradaya, along with descendants of the successor of Ramanujacharya, who are in a whole line, they came to our satsang. And it was actually amazing because Murli Bhatta, who happens to be the descendant of Venkata Bhatta, the father of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Lord Chaitanya stayed in their house for 4 months, which is amazing. Because in Lord Chaitanya's whole life, the places he spent the most time, number one, was Navadvip. He lived for 24 years in Navadvip. He spent 12 years continuously in Jagannath Puri, 18 years, more or less, he spent continuously in Puri, 6 years he traveled in and out. He only spent 2 months in Vrindavan, but he spent 4 months in Sri Rangam. He was number three on the list of where he spent his most time. And it was all at the house of Venkata Bhatta. And that house is still there. And Murli Bhatta lives there. And they were so happy. Devotees were doing Nam Sankirtan in the streets of Srirangam, and the priests and the pujaris were coming out of their houses and dancing with us and offering aarti to the Sankirtan party. And Murli Bhatta, he said, there's one lecture hall that is reserved, he was telling me, only for the sannyasis of their own line of the Sri Sampradaya. Nobody else has ever spoken in that lecture hall. There's two lines of Sri Sampradayas. There's the northern sect and the southern sect. He said they won't even let sannyasis from the northern sect speak there. It was built long, long ago. Very traditional place. But they allowed our devotees to speak there 3 hours every morning, 3 hours every evening. It was amazing. They had such nice facilities. And one day, the senior most sannyasi and guru of their sampradaya came to the lecture, or actually came to speak. It was like several people spoke. And what he spoke was profound. It was historical. It was unbelievable. Do I have enough time to say what he spoke? Okay. Because in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, they accept Lord Chaitanya as a great saint. But rarely do they accept him as God. They accept him as a great religious reformer, saintly person. Intoxicated man loving God. But outside the Gaudiya Sampradaya, very few people understand that Lord Chaitanya is actually Krishna himself in his most munificent, merciful of all incarnations. Anyways, he started quoting from scripture in front of 2,000 of our devotees. There was probably at least 50 to 100 pujaris from the Srirangam temple, which is the capital of the whole Sri Sampradaya. And there was television cameras and newspapers taking down every word he speaks. Haribo. He was quoting Shastra saying how Lord Chaitanya was Krishna himself, who wanted to taste Radharani's love, who descended from Goloka Vrindavan to give Krishna prema to the whole world through Nam Sankirtan. And then he said that this is unbelievable for a man of that stature to publicly say such a thing. Then he said that the gopis of Goloka Vrindavan, the gopis of the spiritual world, descended with Lord Chaitanya as his associates to help him spread Krishna consciousness. Then he said that Ramanujacharya has instructed all of his followers to spread the holy name all over the world. And then he quoted verse after verse after verse, declaring the only way in the age of Kali to attain perfection is the chanting of the holy name, which is not emphasized in their sampradaya. It's usually mostly deity worship and like that. He said, Ramanujacharya has given us this instruction. And then in great emotion, he said, ISKCON is fulfilling the mission of Ramanujacharya. And then he said something that was profound. He said, I want to join ISKCON. Because you are doing what Ramanujacharya dreamed would be done. And Murli Bhatta and Parasara Bhatta, we were doing Nam Sankirtan, and they came out to join us, and soon they were leading the kirtan and dancing the whole way. And all the other pujaris and priests were seeing, you know, their own people dancing in kirtan with us. It was amazing. You remember? And at the end, Murali Bhatta said, you know, this is the house that Lord Chaitanya stayed in for 4 months. It's been the house of all my forefathers for all these years. He said, I'd like to sell it to ISKCON. Hare Krishna. And he was crying when we left. He was crying. Now, he's one of the head pujaris, Murali Bhatta. When we were, after Sri Rangam, we went to Rameshwaram. And while we were in Rameshwaram, he called one of our devotees, Brajasundar Prabhu, who's actually from that area and helped make the arrangements. He called him, and he was crying on the phone. He was crying, weeping. He actually was weeping when he was saying goodbye to us publicly in front of everybody. And when we were in Rameshwaram, he called and he cried. He said, since I've been a little boy, now he's like in his 40s or 50s, whatever. He said, since I've been a little boy, I've gone to the temple every single day of my life to do my puja. He said, but since you've gone, I haven't gone. Since your group has gone, I haven't gone to the temple once. He said, I can't go. It's too painful. It's too painful to see the Sri Rangam temple without thousands of ISKCON devotees chanting and hearing. It's just such a lonely place now. Srila Prabhupada's mercy is very special. And in a few minutes I must go to back on my journey to India. I wish to thank especially Suvas Prabhu, Amala Bhakta Prabhu, Sura Prabhu, Prabhupati Prabhu, who have showered so much kindness upon me while I'm here, Shukadev Prabhu, Veda Parvataka Prabhu, and all other devotees. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.